May 5th, Cinco de Mayo at Port Washington City Hall. All alder persons are present. Please join with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this time we'll move into public comments and appearances. Just a reminder that you have up to 3 minutes to speak, and we will be allowing comments for a maximum of 30 minutes tonight. Name and address.
Hang on. Tracy Finch, West Portview Drive, Port. Mayor, the people of Port Washington deserve honesty tonight. I'm asking you to correct the record. Your Q&A fact sheet claims you propose data centers will not raise our power bills, but We Energies has already announced a 4.7 rate increase in 2027. Driven by the new energy infrastructure, major grids, upgrades, rising electricity demand fueled largely by data center growth and inflation, those are words, not ours. To tell residents this project has no impact on the future rates, it's simply not credible. Any new power lines or grid expansions required for this data center should be paid for by Vantage and other developers, not taxpayers or homeowners of Port Washington. But the issue goes deeper than rising bills. Right now, residents are living with confusion, anxiety, genuine emotional distress because there is no clear, trustworthy way to report problems. Complaints bounce between seven different entities, including two that many people no longer trust. This is not a functioning system. We need one centralized complaint department, one number, one accountable person, one unbiased log of every concern. Without this, the suffering will continue and the city will continue to look unprepared and unresponsive. Mayor, you are hurting people because of decisions made under your leadership. Families are losing sleep. They are worried about their health. They are watching their value of their homes, the biggest investment, slip away. These are not abstract policy disagreements. These are real human consequences. And when residents feel dismissed and or ridiculed for raising legitimate concerns, it erodes trust and edges dangerously close to a failure of duty. Taxpayers should not have to fight this hard to be heard. We expect safe roads, we expect clean air, we expect leadership that protects those basic rights. And when transparency is promised, it must be delivered. You presented a construction timeline at a previous meeting saying it would clear up confusion. Now it's gone. It's not in the hallway, it's not online, simply removed. When information appears once, then disappears without explanation, it creates an impression that something is being hidden. That damages public trust more than any construction noise or dust ever could. Mayor, this is the moment for accountability, not for defensiveness, not for excuses. The people of Port Washington need a leader who recognizes the impact of his choices and is willing to say plainly and sincerely that he understands the harm and is committed to making it right. Admitting mistakes is not weakness. It is leadership, Buffalo leadership.
Thank you. Other comments? Name and address, please.
Ben Donikowski, 4799 County Road LL. My paint is chipped. My windshield is cracked, and whatever lime binder or stabilization powder they are using on these temporary roads is literally etching vehicle paint. At this pace, Vantage could hand out car washes every day for the next several years, and it wouldn't come close to addressing the damage for anyone living in the affected area. Car washes aside, what I really want to focus on today is something that is genuinely inexcusable at this stage of construction: logistics. What exactly is the plan for handling 5,000 workers? Because right now there's supposedly only around 500 on site, and even that is overwhelming the area. Here's an example. When not closed for resurfacing, the intersections of Lake Drive and LL or Lake Drive and KW are abysmal at shift changes. and can't operate without county sheriffs risking themselves while choking on dust. Eventually, everything will reopen. Both ends of Lake Drive, east-west, LL will finally wrap up to handle some traffic from Highland under I-43 or past the town hall. But then what? 5,000 workers will still require more routes, more lanes, more options. Like, that's only four exits. We already know 500 workers is too much for one exit. Simple math, 4 times 500 doesn't equal 5,000. The complete lack of a real traffic solution is putting families at serious risk. Civilian vehicles don't stand a chance against heavy construction equipment, and we can't even get a stoplight. People have compared this project to Foxconn, but there is certainly one big difference. Foxconn had multiple roads expanded, rebuilt, or completely rerouted before construction ever began. And again, we can't even get a stoplight. I know the response is going to be something like, we have a TIP, a transportation improvement plan coming, but that's exactly the problem. Why wasn't it done before construction started? Everything so far has been reactive instead of proactive, and the community is paying the price for that.
Thank you. Other speakers?
Mike Beister, 305 South Garfield Avenue. I just wanted to one more time reiterate my great thanks and gratitude to the city staff, Rob, Roger, John, Chief DeBoer, Melissa, Susan. Everybody who sat down with me and tried to bring me up to speed on what's going on in the city. So it's been really helpful, and we have amazing city staff here, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comments? All right, let's move into our agenda then. In the consent agenda, is there anyone willing to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
As moved and seconded, any questions or concerns on the agenda or the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. That takes us into mayor's business. There are no appointments to boards, commissions, or committees this evening. They will all come on May 19th. And that brings us into proclamations. There are multiple proclamations for the month of May. One is for ALS Awareness Month. Another is for Professional Municipal Clerks Month. Another is for National Nurses Week, which begins today. Another is for Teacher Appreciation Week. And another is for National Peace Officers Memorial Day and National Public Works Week. I'll have all of those available for public consumption, but I wanted to speak to three of them tonight and just share our gratitude. The first is for National Peace Officers Memorial Day and for National Peace Officers Memorial Day. I just want to thank the Port Washington Police Department for their constant commitment to community policing, making sure to follow their mission of serving and protecting, and also making sure they have a strong commitment to the future of Port Washington. They've done a fantastic job this year, as is every year, and as the department continues to grow and will move into a new facility and building, I just wanted to thank Captain Zarnicki and Chief Hingis for their work in making sure that those two buildings are looking good and will be really future focused. And we're gonna hear about that a little bit from Rob tonight. I'll be delivering that to the police department here this week. The second one is Teacher Appreciation Week. That's a special spot, I think, in all of our hearts, because I don't know anyone who never had a teacher. regardless of where you went to school or even homeschooled, you still had a teacher. And this week, for the 4th through the 8th, is Teacher Appreciation Week. And I would just ask citizens of Port Washington to send notes to the teachers who provide a great public education in the Port Washington Saukville School District to our children, and as well as all the staff at those schools. One of the things I don't think we always recognize is that the 180-day school year is a really awesome time for teachers, but it's also a very trying time. And May is the reason that they put Teacher Appreciation Week in, because this is the last few weeks of school. It's the most difficult time to be an educator. And I think if you remember, it was also a tough time to be a student. So they share that together. But after spending all that time together, one of the things I think is really, really important is 62% of a child's waking life by the time they graduate from high school is in a school. And that means they're in front of our teachers more than they are their own families. And I think most of our teachers in the city of Port Washington treat those children as if they are their own. So please extend a great warmth and thanks to them. And then the other one is, it's National Nurses Week. I think it's really fantastic that three groups that selflessly serve the community, either through nursing, teaching, or policing, get the same week together. And if you get the opportunity, I think we've all been on the other end of a very caring and empathetic nurse who has taken the time, he or she, to ensure that we feel comfortable and safe. Because if you've ever been hospitalized unexpectedly, it's a really scary thing. And you are front-facing with these beautiful people who calm you down and take you through that. So National Public Works Week, let's keep moving there. Rob, well done. And then Susan, the Municipal Clerks Week, we appreciate you very much for all that you do on a regular basis to ensure the city of Port Washington has amazing elections, as well as records and support for our community. And the ALS Awareness Month is something that's also very important to us all. I have no further mayor updates, so I'm going to take us into officer and staff reports and start out with an update on the public safety building. Rob.
Okay, yep. We have Maura Riordan from MC Group, who is going to lead a short presentation on our on the status of our construction of the public safety building.
Good evening, everyone.
You got to turn the microphone on. There you go. You're good. You're good.
Someone did it for me. Thank you. I haven't seen you in a while, and I'm glad to say I have good news. So most of you are probably aware we're coming to the end of the building of the new public safety building. Tonight, I'm going to give you an overview of what's happened, where we are today, and what to expect. I'm going to start with the good news. So the whole project, we've had over 100,000 work hours with not a single recorded safety incident. That's very impressive. We are still on track to complete construction in July, which is how we started. That's the schedule we started with, and we are on track to maintain that schedule. Current construction contract is below the original contract amount by over $300,000. It's an example of effective cost control throughout the whole process. And the total project budget, of the 31.9 budget approved, we have approximately $1.7 million remains unallocated. That means that we're well positioned at this point to deliver the project under budget. And the last I'm just going to say, as a group, I think you can again thank your police and fire. You can thank Susan for her effort, Rob for his effort, Melissa for your help, and everyone else that's been involved in this process, because from the beginning, a very clear vision was stated, and we feel that we've accomplished the mission. So it's been a very successful project, and you could all be very grateful for the team that you have working at the city. Project budget update. Currently, as I mentioned, the project is trending under budget due to competitive bids, discipline change order management, proactive coordination. It's been a very collaborative project team with the architects and engineers and the construction manager. We have limited any kinds of major cost growth. We've preserved our contingency. So the remaining contingency levels, both owner's contingency and construction contingency, are healthy and appropriate. I mean, they're better than appropriate for this phase of the construction project. And as we reach completion, we'll maintain those two contingencies to the very end, and then those will eventually be returned to the owner. But basically, you won't be billed for those amounts is what happens. And so, holding on to that amount makes sure that to the very end we have the finances available to take care of anything that might come up. But generally, it's all good news financially. As far as milestones, schedule-wise, we're also predicting a very successful completion. So we've completed everything up to interior rough-in. We've started already with final grading and paving. Landscaping is projected to complete by next month. Substantial completion, we're on target, like I said, for I'm gonna predict here, July 4th. And we have started the owner's fixtures and equipment procurement and installation, and that should be wrapped up by the end of July. last 30 days, a lot has been happening. So you might have noticed that they started building the police side, then they've moved into the common area, and then they've worked on the fire department. So we call those units A, B, and C. So at this point, unit A, the police department, is nearly complete. So drywall's done, ceilings are done, finishes, casework is going in, and final mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. It's all wrapping up here. Moving into the common area, and They've already started with a lot of those trades and nearly done like with ceramic tile in the fire department. Elevator is underway, should be installed and certified maybe next week, depending on if we get phones to the building, phone lines. And as I said, we started finished grading and site concrete is underway. So sidewalks are going in. And the owner furnished equipment. The procurement is well underway, over 85% complete, and they started deliveries. So in the next 30 days, we're expecting the majority of the work to wrap up and to start the final finishes. So the landscaping, they're gonna do startup and testing and commissioning. That's all gonna be in the next 30 days. And I went ahead and added a slide here for a 60-day look ahead. So after our 250th Independence Day celebration, that's when you can imagine they're going to be moving in, hopefully. So the strong coordination between the city, Bray, the architect, and C.D. Smith, the construction manager, we've minimized disruptions. Like I said, we're aligned with the overall project timelining, meaning the substantial completion date of 7-1, which was in the original contract. We've managed to maintain that. Like I said, owner furnished equipment, procurement is 85, almost 90% complete right now. No lead time concerns. And C.D. Smith, the construction manager, has accepted the idea of partial substantial completion. So we're gonna start installing equipment. Like I said, unit A, B, C, we're gonna start installing equipment in that same pattern. And the police and fire department, the leaders are going to handle their own occupancy planning, and that has already begun. So meaning they're gonna help, they're gonna figure out how to move everything in, get everything up and running. So that's already started. So overall, good news. As you've probably seen from the outside, trading tower's done, there's glass up. Signage is going on the outside of the building. As I said, sidewalks are in. That gives you a little brief look at what the inside of the training room slash court area is going to look like. Lots of light. We've now well surpassed where this picture was taken. So that wraps up my presentation, and I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from council? Mr. Planer?
Yeah, no, I guess I'm just thinking about contingencies, Maura, so like nothing to be concerned about this time, no unexpected surprises that you're thinking about?
No unexpected surprises with contingency. And as I mentioned, there will be a decent amount of contingencies being returned to the owners, how we reference it. But it's basically you won't be billed for that amount.
And then I guess, like, Rob, will we have like access to some of those dollar numbers and dollars when we start talking about borrowing for the fall and like budget time?
Yeah, I would think so. As we go into budget season, yeah, well, I mean, I think we're going to have our substantial completion, like Maura said, at 7 on July 26th, I think. And so.
Yes.
We should, yeah. So at budget time, we should have a pretty good grasp of what we have. Yeah.
Even before then, I mean, I think we'll know. July, for sure, we'll be getting our final bill from the construction manager.
Other questions? Mr. Neumeyer?
Just a quick question. We're set with DOT as far as access to the highway now.
It's on the agenda for tonight. Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Benning?
No, I get to look at it every day and watch it from my work at the funeral home. But and I have gone through it a couple times. And it's a very impressive. I think it's going to be key to recruiting and retaining staff at this facility, and we said, you know, you referred to the vision of a 50-year building, and it will be a 50-year building. We'll not be going in. I know Melissa and I've talked. We've got plans for how we're going to maintain it going forward. That's been a key for us to know how we're going to mow the lawn, plow the snow, you know, and know when we have to put a new roof on it or something like that. So it won't be in 5 or 10 years, it'll be 50 years. And so talking with Ben, the site manager out there, he's very pleased and impressed. And I've been very impressed with he and his crew with everything they've done out there. So thank you and the whole team.
It's been a fun project to work on. Good group of people.
Other questions? I have one quick one, that one of the expectations that we laid out from the start was that once we took occupancy of the building, we also acquired a capital plan that showed life expectancy of carpet, windows, paint, and that we could adopt a nice Gantt chart or project map showing that, you know, in 2048, we would have to replace windows, or just so that future councils can maintain it, because the current state is it's a 50-year building, but there's nothing precluding that from being a 100-year building if it's maintained properly.
Correct, if it's maintained well, correct.
And that's I'd really like to see that adopted, you know, given to council when we take occupancy. I think that's going to be critical.
I will make note of that. So a separate, the idea would be like a separate binder for council beyond the owner's maintenance manuals that we would give to, say, the building management team.
Yeah, so what we've done in the past with larger projects is, you know, like the carpet is warrantied for X amount of time, HVAC is warrantied, mm-hmm. and just shows the end dates of all of those,
okay.
so that the council and GGF can plan for an understanding that, you know, the expected life cycle is X, so start saving now, so in the future, some council's not sitting there going, well, you know, they don't need air conditioning, like, it's a $250,000 liability. Sure. We know that the date of the year, and we need to be appropriately budgeting for it.
Good idea.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else after that?
Thank you.
Ms. Westerbeck?
I just want to say that working inside this project for all this time, Maura, you've been outstanding to work with.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your professionalism and your attention to detail. And I just wanted you all to know that she has been amazing this entire time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is lovely. I'll be back next week.
Well, anybody who tells us we get some extra millions of dollars, they deserve an applause. Yeah. We'll go get you some beanies, chips, and nachos. Okay, city administrator update.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to, I have to say this every time, the department heads do a report every month and it goes on the city under administration. This month, I think it's 20 pages. I do encourage everyone to read those. They are in the packet, but if you are wanting to read them at a different time, they're all, each month, they're on the website. We are hiring for the summer, so if you have anybody that is looking for a summertime job, they can still jump online and help us out. I think John was filling the pool yesterday. So we're getting ready for summer around here. I wanted to also let everyone know we're going to be doing some work by underneath I-43 by the Inner Urban Trail. There will be some closures during the daytime. We will do every effort to open it at night and on the weekends. We're partnered with the county who runs the Inner Urban Trail website, and it's innerurbantrail.com. All of the updates will be on there. I just double checked, and Andrew from the county has it updated. So it'll be open at night or after 6 o'clock, and it'll be open on the weekends. So we're gonna allow as much access as possible to anybody using that trail. And then they're doing as much as they can to keep that website updated if there are any closures. So stay tuned on that. This week, we will also, there will be striping done on Lake Drive. So that'll be happening, and hopefully that will help alleviate some of the traffic out there, and they will get that handled. And I believe I will get that data center schedule back up there. I don't know why it was taken down, but I will get it back up there. I didn't take it down, but we'll certainly get it back up there. Oh, okay. Okay, we'll get it back up. So sorry about that. I didn't realize it was down. And then lastly, I believe Rob wanted to do just a micro update on the Upper Lake Park.
Sure, so I'm happy to report that our street department was able to get a small section, less than 100 feet of Upper Lake Park reconstructed this week. So we should be reopening traffic northbound and through Upper Lake Park tomorrow afternoon.
And just for the community's sake, that was approved by, overseen by, can you just give the like slight details on why we're able to do that?
Yeah.
Safely?
Sure. Well, just so this was a recommendation from our geotech Miller engineers to pull back that section of the road from the bluff, which of course has been creeping towards the road. And we were, essentially able with our own street department, our own forces to do this work. And we rent the paving machine from Ozaukee County, and we're able to complete that work today. And we'll stripe it tomorrow, so the pedestrian lane will be back in action as well. I'll give a larger presentation to Board of Public Works, just a discussion and update at their meeting next Tuesday.
Awesome. But that's a safe stretch now versus...
Safe to travel again. Okay. Yes. And so we pulled out a section of asphalt so that people, you know, to discourage people from
even driving
into that area. Yeah.
It was back in the old days, there was a guy who ran Parks Department, His name was Joe Weiss. And he loved putting boulders along those strips to deter young people from driving along there. And I was wondering, are we going to put anything on the other side to stop traffic from getting a little too close to that edge that isn't safe?
Well, the guardrail is still there. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But it's not being moved over with the road?
No, okay. That was not the plan currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Melissa?
One question on that. Rob, are we putting up fencing, snow fencing or something along the top of the bluff to keep people back away?
We were not planning on doing that. We do have signage that advises people to stay away from the edge.
Okay, because I know Mayor talked about the undercutting, and I just feel like we need to put something up there and people don't assume that it's good up to the edge.
Yeah, I guess that's something we could discuss. That would be a lot, you know, it might give the impression anywhere you don't have a sign is perfectly safe. I guess nowhere along the bluff is perfectly safe to be standing along the edge. So I'm just
more worried about undercut areas.
Yeah. Okay.
Melissa?
I actually said the same thing, and there is a sign there. It's just one sign. And you sent me the photo of it, that to don't go there, because I didn't see it either. There isn't, like, barricades or anything, and I don't think that we'll put those back up unless...
And then the only other question I had was, do we have a timeline on the clearing of the path to the beach?
We would like to start, weather-dependent, we'd like to start that work next week.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
And then one other, you're going to do the bike ped plan in June 2nd, correct? Not next week, or not?
Yeah, we're going to do with the bike ped plan is we'll take it, it was tabled at the Board of Public Works last month, so we'll take it to Board of Public Works again this month. Traffic safety meets in May, so we'll bring it to traffic safety and then take it to the council on June 2nd, I think it is.
Perfect, thank you.
Awesome. And this one's for me. Okay, and then the next agenda item then is from council committees. General Government and Finance Committee, consideration of possible action on a recommendation to use debt reserves for the purchase of a replacement stump grinder. Should the use of debt reserves be approved to fund the purchase of a replacement stump grinder in 2026 is the issue. The staff recommends approval to use debt reserve to fund the purchase of a replacement stump grinder, and there is a recommended motion to use $84,500 for that. Melissa.
Thank you, Mayor. This did go to GGF, and this was approved for our Parks Department. This was in the plan from 2024, and we had pushed it out. And unfortunately, it kind of went kaput on it for us for what we need. John Crane is here for any questions on logistics or more of the mechanical pieces of it. But if we didn't buy it now, we would be spending probably $20,000 more in a year. And then we don't have the usage of it right now, and we do use this piece of equipment quite a bit. And if you have any questions on the logistics, John's here, otherwise financials.
Mary Lou?
Just a few questions. What is the lifetime of this piece of equipment, expected lifetime?
It's right here.
Depending on We would look at it to about 10 years. At 10 years, we would see if we can extend it further. But I would say at about 10 years, maybe looking at a replacement.
And what's the warranty on this product? Is there a warranty?
There's a full warranty on it. I'd have to look review what the warranty is, but
it's in the
it should be in there, but it's the same as the new purchase.
Yeah. So 1 year standard limited warranty, 3 years gearbox and driveline, and 2 years standard CAT engine warranty.
Where is that on? What page?
It's in the packet under the quote.
17.
I was wondering, with the remote control, can you just do all this work from your house?
With use of GIS, we may be able to do it from the office.
Insurance says no.
A robotic stump grinder.
Okay. And lastly, Melissa had asked about it would cost us $20,000 more. Are there any other costs that would impact this if we didn't buy it now?
Well, the cost would be we wouldn't be able to grind any stumps. What do you mean on what more costs?
Like the type of product that it is, it's from a certain country, it's chances of getting this product.
I guess anything's possible with the way things are changing with imports. But right now, as it stands, if we were to wait until next year, there's a $20,000 increase on a new piece of equipment. This is a demo model. We actually demoed this. We had demoed three different types of units. We want to switch to a track unit. This is going to save on a lot of time and labor. Part of the problem is we had a tow behind unit that the operator has to back up onto the parkways, and it isn't very efficient. Also, when you want to do stumps in the parks, you have to drive the pickup truck and the machine. It's a towable trailer. So we end up making a lot of ruts. We do a lot of stump grinding in spring, so the parkways are soft. It causes a lot of extra work to fill these in. That's why we were switching to a track unit. As I said, we demoed three different types of track units and felt this one was the best. What had happened is, I don't know why, but the motor blew on the last one. I talked with our mechanic extensively on it. One of the injectors could have failed. We don't know for sure. Once it blows, it's kind of hard to say exactly why it happened. Talked with him about a rebuild, and he wouldn't have the time to do it. It wouldn't be cost effective to pay for it with the amount of hours that are on it. So that's why it should be done now. If we don't do it now, then all the stumps sit all summer. We have several stumps along the bike path right now. And then we do have several stumps throughout the summer. And then coming into fall, we're also going to have more stumps from our street tree removal. So that would be a big cost, as we don't have a stump grinder. We would have to rent one. Grafton was gracious enough to let us use theirs for our spring stumps. But so there's several costs in labor, and I can't give definitive costs on if we waited.
Other questions, Mr. Gasper?
Sure, since we're gonna pay for this out of reserve funds, are we going to budget for next year to refill the reserve funds for the same amount? And also, as if we're selling the old one, does to Cedarburg for $5,000, is that then going into reserve to make up for this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, the answer, yes. Most said yes.
Okay, thank you.
And they are capital reserves.
Yeah. Any other questions or concerns?
No, I'll move to approve.
I'll take the second.
There's a motion to approve and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That takes us to the next agenda item from the Plan Commission. Consideration and possible action on Ordinance 2026-02, amending the zoning ordinance relating to permitted uses by right in the I-1 existing industrial and I-2 industrial park zoning districts. City of Port Washington is the applicant. This is the first reading. The issue is, should the Common Council is being asked to amend Section 485-170 of the City of Port Washington Zoning Code to add indoor storage to the list of permitted uses for existing industrial plan developments. The staff recommendation is there's no recommendation at this, as it is a first reading of the ordinance. We did review this at Planning Commission and agreed with it. Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this ordinance will permit, or it's a change in the zoning code to add that indoor storage use in industrial zoning districts, specifically only for those existing industrial plan developments. So in this case, it's both the business barns that are on South Park Street. Those are actually were allowed at the time of approval, and also the Maritime Light Industrial Condominiums. And then the intent of this is just after speaking, you know, both with the developer on uses and also police and fire on certain code issues with these industrial developments. I think it's almost just a path of least resistance to allow this use in what is essentially a mixed-use industrial district. So I think it just, I think in this particular case with these particular developments, I think it's just it's an acceptable use. And so, so there is no indoor storage use allowed right now. So in a planned development, it has to attach itself to an existing use. So we're putting it in the code and applying it to those industrial planned developments.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. Any questions? Just speaking on behalf of myself from the Planning Commission, a few years ago, I would have been adamantly opposed to this because we would have wanted to put density and high value industrial uses in the industrial park. And after, you know, 2 decades of trying to attract as well as working with those, the existing occupants of the industrial park, they've sold off their extra lots. They do not see themselves growing. And this would be the best use for that land now. So I do recommend it from watching it for the last few years.
So we'll have the public hearing and the action on this matter at the next council meeting.
All good. Anything else? Okay. That takes us into the next agenda item. New business, consideration and possible action on a quit claim deed with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for highway access to the new safety building. This is at the corner of County Highway LL and State Highway 33. The staff recommends the city approve a quit claim deed with Wisconsin Department of Transportation to permit access to the new public safety building off of County Highway LL and State Highway 33. Mr. Vandenhoven.
All right. Well, I'm happy to report that we that in just under the amount of time that it took to build the entire building that we were able to received from the DOT a quit claim deed that we've been waiting for. So this is, as I think you all know, the DOT has had access restrictions on that property because of the ramps that used to be there for the old US Highway 141. And so it was a long process in which they typically sell these rights to people who wish to develop on the land. We were able to negotiate a deal with the DOT that they would only charge us the cost of the appraisal that they had to go through to find out how much the access was worth before they sold it to us for $0. But the so the cost associated with it is $12,500, and that's substantially under the, I think we had over $200,000 budgeted for that. $210,000 budgeted. So the other requirement that they have for this access, which they are giving us in this quit claim deed, is the cost of the left-hand turn lane, which will be going in this summer when we when the DOT resurfaces Highway 33. So, and that cost, I think I have estimated around $65,000. So part of our savings that we'll realize with the construction of the new building.
And you worked with the Department of Transportation on this. We also talked to some local legislators, got some help on that. So
yep.
That's a big swing in costs and a reduction. So thank you for that extra effort, as well as our friends who helped us on that.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Rob? Yeah.
I guess since you brought it up, Rob, do you have timing from the DOT when they're going to start construction on 33 there?
We don't. So it was just out for bids. We do have a low bidder, and I apologize, I can't remember who it is, but we do not have a schedule from that contractor yet.
This
but
summer,
it will be like this year.
Sometime
yes.
Sometime during.
Yeah, I don't
season.
Know if it'll be midsummer or late summer, but yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I know that, I'll certainly get that information out.
Thanks.
I did have a question about this, not this particular thing, but it's within the purview of this conversation. Is when visiting the fire and safety center, one of my wonderings was, because of the both contingency fund and the DOT approval for this, did we or can we consider on County Highway LL where the fire engines and trucks would be coming out? I know that we've talked about potentially striping LL in a way to ensure that people driving know that that's an exit, but would we ever light that? I.e., you know, safety light, traffic light, flips red when the engines are coming out or an ambulance is coming out to ensure that traffic safety on that corner?
We've not considered that. I think we did talk about it, but we did not move forward with it. I think the fire department felt that with the lights and the sirens that are on the vehicles themselves, that that would be enough, given that it's a fairly low traffic volume on LL.
Okay.
That was the thinking, but we did discuss that during design.
Okay. All right, so then there is a motion, a recommended motion to approve the quit claim deed. Oh, Mr. Benning, or Mary Lou, I'm sorry.
Do we know if the landscaping that they're planning on doing in June will be disturbed from the work that they plan on doing in July? Has that been?
Are you? Wait, could you say the question again?
Well, so they're going to do a left-hand turn.
Right.
And that goes into which direction is that coming? Help me
out. So that's eastbound Highway 33, left-hand turn
into the
public safety building. Yeah, into the driveway
from Highway 33.
Yeah, which is shared with Ernesty.
Okay, so that's not going to impact any of the work that's being done or is done?
No, not any of the work that's being done at the public safety building. Okay. No. Okay.
Mr. Bennett?
With that, I would move to approve.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Miller. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion carries. That takes us to the next agenda item under new business, consideration of possible action on accepting a donation in the form of a sculpture in Cold Dock Park. The issue is, should the Common Council accept an I Love Port Washington sculpture in Cold Dock Park? I'm going to have Melissa start with this, and then I'll add to it.
Sounds good. So this action item is out of working with Park and Rec and the Friends of Parks and Rec. We have a donation for a sculpture in the Cold Dock Park, and this has been a long-awaited project of having a sculpture garden in Cold Dock Park from a long time ago, some plans we had there. So we're working on getting that started. This would be one of hopefully many in the future. And this is a donation from Cloverleaf, who we were working with early on in the project. And I know that John Crane is here to answer any questions about location. He was out there. And then, Mr. Mayor, if you have any additions.
You handled it pretty well. I mean, what we did was, this was 5-6 years ago, so right after COVID, when we decided to use the relief funds to support Paint on Port. We had said that when that stage kind of closed out, we would seek the opportunity to put sculptures at Cold Dock Park and around the city of Port Washington. So this is really just to kind of trigger those pieces and philanthropic investment in there. It's a steel sculpture. It'll be fabricated in the state of Wisconsin, and C.D. Smith is working with us on there. C.D. Smith has done the two jobs at the Police and Fire Center as well as our water plant, and they will be making a cash donation towards us as well to support the ongoing maintenance of the project, but is also doing some work in kind as a level of gratitude to the city of Port Washington. So the total project costs are now estimated to be $92,000. We added a sidewalk in there and a couple of other things after John and I met with C.D. Smith. But it's being laid out in a way that it'll be tilted a little bit so that when you're downtown Port Washington, you'll look across. It's 13 feet high by 12 foot wide. You'll be able to see it. And really the vision of starting with an I Love Port Washington sculpture was, I think anybody who grows up in Port Washington, there's like three places you go take prom, homecoming pictures and wedding photos, et cetera. And we just thought it would be a really iconic kind of start to our sculptures here in the city of Port Washington. So I'm pretty excited about it and happy that we were able to find someone willing to fund the whole thing versus, you know, chasing some different pieces. And actually just the conversation around this has led to other inquiries of other people who want to then donate sculptures. And one of the pieces that I'm going to be requesting is that the council, when we do our strategic planning work session here this summer, that we kind of establish a sculpture policy like other cities and communities have, of kind of the lane of which we would allow or accept sculpture donations in the city so that we can make sure that people have parameters and understanding of that.
I think for me, the biggest thing was that there's operating and maintenance costs built into this so that we aren't on the hook. There's no surprises when it comes to long-term maintenance of the sculpture or hopefully future sculptures. And I also commend Melissa for getting that donation policy kind of buttoned up so that we feel good about this and not being stuck with any long-term maintenance costs going forward. So very happy to see that as well.
Ms. Miller?
I'm very happy with the sculpture, and I think it'll be a great addition. However, I'm so disappointed that it didn't go to Park and Rec first. That committee truly doesn't get to contribute much to this community at this point, and it saddens me that those individuals are left out. So
I'll take responsibility for that. And I did bring this to Park and Rec, I think 2 years ago when we had multiple sculpture kind of conversations and yeah, looking back, I appreciate that. Other comments or concerns? Otherwise, is there anyone willing to make a motion to accept the donation?
I'll make a motion to accept the donation.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that motion carries.
I guess before we move on, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, schedule for installation?
Yes. So good question. After meeting with C.D. Smith, being approved tonight, the donations will be acquired in the next 4 or 5 days, but that will allow John to execute with Park or Friends of Park and Rec to get moving. The estimated time, I think he said, would be by mid-June. Would be not the most aggressive because my goal was actually Memorial Day, but it turns out fabricating that much steel, getting it painted, installed, it takes a little longer than that. Yeah. So the goal was well before Fish Day and in the heart of wedding season. So we can go down there, plan on a nice ribbon cutting some beautiful day in June where it's 30 degrees at Coldock Park and 80 right here. Okay. Thank you for that, everybody. All right, so consideration and possible action on Resolution 26-05, approving the elected officials handbook for elected officials holding office as of April 21st, 2026. The issue is should the Common Council approve this, and the city attorney recommends Common Council adopt Resolution 2026-05. Mr. Nugent.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution 2026-05 is a resolution regarding the elected officials handbook. Essentially, it's ratifying that elected officials handbook, the current version, or the updated version, excuse me, of that handbook. Essentially what we've done is we've gone through and updated some information that needed to be updating, really bringing it in line to what actually is occurring in the city this year. The sole real material change is the addition of a confidentiality policy. There was some confusion amongst council members about what, in fact, was confidential, what obligations and responsibilities there were for confidentiality. And so it made sense to kind of write that down and put that in one place to allow council members to review and refresh if they have any questions about that. So that's really what this is. It brings it in line with what we do with the employee handbook. Employees, they have to sign the handbook when they come on. They sign it, they acknowledge it. And so Resolution 2026-05 really brings the elected officials handbook into line with that practice as well.
Thank you for that, Mr. Nugent. Any questions on the handbook? Just a reminder to council to read it thoroughly and then ask if there's any wonders or worries in there to make sure to address them with Melissa. And I just wanted to thank Melissa and Susan and the team for putting that handbook together a couple of years back. We didn't really operate with any kind of norms or rules governing ourselves other than ordinances, and that's a burdensome understanding for each of us. So with that, is there anyone willing to make a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-05?
Move to approve.
There's a motion to approve and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motions carry. That brings us to public comments and appearances. Are there any public comments or appearances as we close out? Okay, seeing none. That brings us into our last agenda item, which is to convene in a closed session per Wisconsin State Statute 19.851G for the purpose of conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. Is there anyone willing to make such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion?
I'm going to abstain on voting on this.
Okay. In a second, we do a roll call. And then when we roll call, then that's what we'll do. Okay. So roll call vote. Ward 1.
Aye.
Ward 2.
Aye.
Ward 3.
Aye.
Ward 4.
Aye.
Ward 5.
Aye.
Ward 6.
Abstain.
Abstain. Ward 7.
Aye.
We are now in closed session. Please clear the chambers. Council will do this immediately. Thank you.